the notes for a number of reasons. I can't possibly cover everything, so hopefully you can use those notes to help you follow along. There it is. We got a new slide up there. This is where I'm going to be. We're in our series in 2 Peter. So we'll be in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll be continuing KT's excellent message last week. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 11. So as your notes come along, you should also have some pens and the seat back in front of you. There are also some in the back in the lobby. So as you've turned to 2 Peter 1, verse 5, let's take a moment to read this passage together. Starting in verse 5. So, make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. We'll go back and talk just briefly about this. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance. Patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to love for other Christians. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more you become productive and useful in your knowledge of the Lord and Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop these virtues are blind, or at least very short-sighted. They have already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life of sin. So, verse 10, so dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove or to testify that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Doing this, you will never stumble or fall away. And God will open wide the gates of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to start with an application this morning. As we go through these series, we really want to encourage you and challenge you to read the entire sections that we're talking about. Read the entire book. Now, if we're in the book of Leviticus, that's going to be hard. I'm not sure Mike's going to set that one up next, but the idea is that you need to read the entire section. You need to read the entire thoughts of the particular author, because you guys know the chapters and verses, those breaks are things that we've put in there to help us understand the scriptures better, to see where we're starting and stopping. But if you read these texts over and over, this is going to help you understand the overall argument of the author. So I want to encourage you to do that, and that will help give you some context. Let's pray real quick before we consider what Peter is talking to us about. Father, we are desperately in need of you. We really are. So many things can confront us, take us off of the main thing. This morning, with so many people here, my guess is there's lots of challenges and concerns. And my prayer this morning is that you would allow those burdens and cares to be cast at your throne, so that those who have those can be confident that you are working, so that they can open their minds and their ears and their hearts to what you would want them to hear today. Help us to recognize and respond for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've read the passage. One of the things I'd like you to do first, and this message is going to be full of lots of application. We've read this passage. You can turn your notes over and maybe ask a question. What is it that you want to get out of this message? What is it, after you've read it We've read it. Write down what you might want to learn. I want you to think about one clear idea as we go through this section. And here's what I want you to think. This is in your notes. If you get nothing else out of this section, here's what we want you to understand. We have the opportunity. You have the opportunity. We have the opportunity for growth. But growth doesn't just happen. We have the opportunity for growth, but growth doesn't just happen. Scripture tells us that we are called not just to exist, but rather for growth, to become, to live out our new nature. That's the core. Everything that Peter is saying in this section is related to that. And what I want to do is take some time to talk about three things, and I'll apply those three things in this message. I want to connect verses 3 and 4 to 5, which helps us understand where we're going. Then I want to look at two other opportunities for you this morning, because this is what's before you, is an opportunity. The first thing is to connect between 3 and 4. The reality of our new nature. We should want the appetites for the things that are good, that are pure, wholesome. It's a word we don't like to use anymore. But we should be wanting those things. Our behavior should be that of Jesus. We ought to live the kind of spiritual environment that is suited for our new nature. But if you're thinking and you remember what we were talking about last week, everything has been given to you by the Lord Jesus for life and godliness. But somehow, if you're kind of thinking, doesn't always make sense, does it? Sometimes you have an appetite for what is pure and what is good. And we also know that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All is new. Are they? That's the question that you have to be asking within the context of your opportunity to grow. If you have the Holy Spirit residing in you, and if you know the Lord Jesus by grace through faith, not by works, nothing you've done, you have the Holy Spirit. If you've had that transformational decision, if you have been translated from the darkness to the light, you have the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't always feel like you have everything that it takes for life and godliness, does it? I think we should be honest about that. So that's the question. The connection between 3 and 4 and 5 through 11 is this. The answer lies in the fact that the believer now has, here's in your notes, the believer now has two natures, and they are competing natures. We have the old nature, and we have the new nature. That's the answer. Romans 13, 14 says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. The NET Bible says it this way, instead put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh that arouses its desires. So while it is true that we have everything we need for life and godliness, the nature of the Holy Spirit is in us. Godly living is the result of cultivating the new nature within you. You see? Old nature, new nature. And the issue and the connection is, what are you feeding? The opportunity for growth has everything to do with which one you're feeding. And that's what you're going to learn about. We're going to learn about together. Which one are you feeding? That's an applicational question that you should be thinking through this whole message. And this is what we want to consider. Spiritual results and the results that are seen. Applying the benefits that are given to us. This is what theologians, this is a process of what theologians call, they use this term sanctification. Like that word? Sanctification. In your notes, here's the definition of sanctification. It's the ongoing process of becoming transformed into the image of Christ for his glory. Sanctification, very simply, is the ongoing process of becoming transformed to the image of Christ for his glory. Another word we use to describe this sanctification process interchangeably is discipleship, to become who God originally intended us to become. What's your opportunity? Somebody tell me. Donald, what's your opportunity? Opportunity to what? Grow? Yeah. Yeah. This is our opportunity for growth. It doesn't just happen. And this is the thing that is going to have to set in as you start thinking through this and applying it. So that's the connection. The reality is, the only way we can apply the benefits that we saw that are promised to us in verse 3 and 4 is to grow the new nature. Are you feeding the sin nature? It won't grow. Or are you feeding the new nature? One of the guiding verses when we were raising our kids was captured in Luke 2:52, and it says, "And he grew." That is Jesus. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He showed us this. The divine God-man. He grew in wisdom and favor with God and man. Where there is life, there must be growth. We know this. However, growth isn't automatic. That's why the first thing that happens when a mother has a child, what does she do? She feeds the child. There has to be growth. This is why Peter is saying, strive to apply the benefits to your faith. Feed it. Peter combines two verbs in verse 5. He combines two verbs, effort and add. Here, one meaning effort, the other meaning cost, great cost. Because the reality is that believers have two natures, as I just said, and the sin nature with a sin nature and the Holy Spirit. And your growth depends on which one you're feeding. That will determine what actually happens in your sanctification. And it will be costly to you. The effort that you expend will be costly because you have to say no to some things, to the sin nature, and yes to other things. That will cost you. Feeding one or the other will lead to very different outcomes. One will be to fulfillment, the other to frustration. So with that in mind, I want to look at the second point here, and it's the second opportunity that we have, that the text reminds us. And I want to start with this particular area because often we get caught up in the earlier part of the chapter and we just gloss over the last verse. So the second thing that I want you to consider this morning that Peter's talking to us about is the opportunity to live for your rewards. In other words, keep the big picture in mind. This is your opportunity. I'm starting here because too little emphasis is placed on this particular area of motivation. And that's to our detriment. We have something to look forward to. Brothers and sisters, do you remember this? What does he say in the passage at the end, verses, the last verse? And God will open wide the gates of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Other translations, your entrance will be richly rewarded. We should be motivated by that. Recently, we've had a number of really exciting football games and different opportunities to be excited or not. And if you may or may not follow college football, but I love college football, and even though I don't really care that Michigan won the championship, you remember what happened after they finished beating Washington, if you watched it? What happened? The ticker tape was everywhere. People were just, some people were like swimming in it, right? Swimming in it. Right? This is the idea. Do you want somebody to just go, boop, boop, let him in, boop, boop, let her in? No, no. Do you want the ticker tape? This text reminds us that your opportunity to growth is in connection with the reward that you will receive when you enter the heaven. And in what position you will play in the new heaven and new earth. This is something you have to consider. Why is it? I should ask Joel this. Is Joel here? Why is it that at a certain point we stop putting gold stars next to kids' names because they're motivated to read the Bible that way? By nature, we're motivated by the reward that we look forward to. Why should we stop that at a certain age and we're like, oh, I'm too spiritual to do that? No. People of God, your opportunity is to live toward and for the rewards that you will receive in heaven. There's nothing wrong with that motivation. Nothing. Especially if you're cultivating your new nature. Which comes back to motive. Which one are you feeding? Are you feeding the sin nature to get it just for your own glory? Well, that's different. But if you're doing what you're doing to bring glory to God, then your reward is increasing in heaven. And that should be a motivation to you. Remember this passage, Hebrews 12:2. You know this. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He's perfected it. He's perfecting it. And it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. For what? The joy set before him. The joy of what? The joy of fulfilling his Father's will and being restored to the glory that he used to have. He looked toward that to endure what God asked him to do. Same idea, same principle is for us. Your opportunity is to live for that reward, not something that we're doing here on earth. But what we're doing here on earth has an opportunity to bless, to richly, the text says, to richly bless you. Here's another way to think about this. I was working at another university. One of the things that I was challenged to do is to bring together 15 to 25 students, train them in how to have a great conversation with somebody on the phone, and then talk to them about the opportunity to support the college. And the first semester I started doing this, I trained them really well. I said, here's your script. This is how I want you to do it. If you say this or this, I'm going to fire you. If you do this, this, and this, you're going to do good. And we were having a hard time getting this thing going. And the students just weren't buying the Kool-Aid. Like, they weren't drinking it. And so I'm like, I'm the highest paid person on campus. So it's not because I'm not paying them well. I feed them like crazy in between breaks, so I'm giving them food, but they weren't really producing. And so what I had to do is go back and consider how I was talking about what we were doing ultimately with them. And so the Lord opened my mind and said, here's what you need to tell them. If we as a group, calling and building relationships with alumni and friends of the college, If we don't do our job, your roommate and your best friend can't come back next year. Bing. Oh, you mean there's a purpose behind the labor that I'm doing? That was the key for them to understand, oh, I got it. I see what Chad's trying to do. He's just not trying to be mean. He wants us all to have the resources we need. This is the same idea. Think about how you're motivated. And think about the reward. Keep the big picture. Often we just want to focus on the nitty, the details. We want to, oh, well, what does this word mean? And what does this phrase mean? And that's all well and good. But you miss the forest for the tree. You miss the objective that we're going for. And that is to glorify the Lord through your life. And that ultimately leads you to the rewards that you're storing up in heaven. So your opportunity for rewards. Thirdly, and I'll move on. I could say a whole lot more about this, but so we saw the connection between verses 3 and 4 to 5. We've seen now that the objective, the long-term goal, the big picture that you need to be looking for as you grow in your relationship with Christ is that reward that's prepared for you. And the third thing is your opportunity to live faithfully because you are free. Third point. Your opportunity is to live faithfully because you are free. And this is verses 5-8. Living free and faithfully means you are walking in the Spirit, and by walking in the Spirit, your behavior exudes the seven characteristics that Peter mentions. Did you catch that? Living free and faithfully means you are walking in the Spirit, and by walking in the Spirit, your behavior exudes the seven characteristics Peter mentions. The benefit of the promise is that you are free from slavery to sin. And you're free, and you have that opportunity. So these seven qualities that you read in the text shouldn't be viewed as stages of development. You don't add one to the other or the previous one to the other. Rather, these qualities grow out of a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you following me? Okay? They grow out of your relationship with Christ. As you allow the spiritual nature, the Holy Spirit, take its course in your life, you will exude these qualities. Each are different, and yet they're related. The issue isn't necessarily that you learn more about each of the characteristics and pick one that you're going to work on. No, that's works. The effort that you exhibit, and here's a key thing I want you to understand. The effort that you exhibit is getting closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, listening to him, talking to him, asking him to give you the strength to exhibit these growth characteristics. Learn what he wants and what he desires. And as you do that, as you apply the benefits, as you do that, the result is that you will exhibit those seven characteristics. It's the same idea with the fruit of the Spirit. It's not like you go pick one of the fruits of the Spirit to work on. No, this fruit of the Spirit comes out of you as you follow the Holy Spirit. This is the biggest issue for sanctification for all of us, is to stop working harder on one of the characteristics and just get to know the Lord Jesus better. I can tell you this, I can testify this in my own life. There are some areas that I just keep struggling with. And the reality is, the more I focus on being better at whatever it is I'm struggling with, but the more that I allow the Spirit to help me with those issues, the more and more I don't desire those, literally. So the application of the effort has to be adjusted right. So often, and everything you've heard from pulpits all around, is that you just need to try harder, try harder, try harder. No. Follow the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. Read the scriptures. Pray. Be with the body of Christ. That's your effort. That's going to cost you. It's going to cost you not doing something that you want to do because we have something going on that would encourage you here at the church. Not that you're going to work harder at something. It's how are you participating? How are you feeding the new nature? Becoming is not working harder to produce. This is part of the false teaching that Peter's going to talk to you about in the next chapter. So I say read the rest of the chapter. Becoming is not working harder to produce, but to cultivate your intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never fail if you do that. But if you focus on trying to be better at a certain area, you're going to fail every time because you don't have the strength to do it. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Consider this. Here's a way to think about this. Consider the farmer. Wes, I wish your dad was here. Does the farmer make the corn grow? No. What does the farmer do? He creates the environment for which the seed is placed. He plows. He plants. He cultivates. He waters. And when he's doing this, the fruit results. Same idea. Any farmer can't make that seed become corn. What he does is he puts it in the ground and works it. If he doesn't put it in the ground and he doesn't cultivate it and he doesn't do the things he's supposed to do, guess what? You're going to have a bad crop. Do you see the connection? Brothers and sisters, if you feed the sin nature, don't expect spiritual growth because you're feeding the wrong thing. Feed the Holy Spirit in your life and then you will see the things come out of you. Then you will see growth. So the opportunity is for you to live faithfully because you're free. You're not obligated because Christ already paid for that. It's not an obligation. It's an opportunity to live in your freedom. And the practical results is fruitfulness or frustration. 9 times out of 10, when I'm dealing with someone who's struggling in their life because they're continuously ongoing feeding the sin nature and then asking me, why am I having trouble? Sorry, this is very simple. Which are you feeding? Verse 8 says, the more you are faithful, the more you grow. This is what it sounds like. The more you will grow, you'll see three things. You will be productive. Meaning as you deepen your dependence on being faithful to God working in you, these qualities will be shown and you'll begin to feel more and more worthwhile and useful to the body of Christ. Secondly, you will begin to experience spiritual wisdom. Or spiritual wisdom, with vision, meaning you start seeing things like he sees it. My illustration earlier, when I asked God, you know what, this is just not working. I can't do this. I need your help. I started seeing things differently. People, the sin that so easily enticed me was not, I'm like, why would I deal with that? You start getting spiritual vision as you apply faithfulness. You begin to see people differently with greater compassion. And you start seeing and experiencing the benefits of feeding the right side. And thirdly, it looks like you'll experience, it sounds like you will experience spiritual security. You'll experience spiritual security that confirms what God has called you already to be. When you start living faithfully, you start seeing, oh, this is working. You start seeing that security that in your eyes, you're confirming what God already has promised. Because if he's called you, he's equipped you. But if you live faithfully, you start experiencing that. If you're not feeding the right thing, you're going to not experience that. You mean, oh, what's going on? You'll start exhibiting or understanding truly what that's, okay, wow, I see this. How much time do I have? Ooh, I'm getting close. Okay, applications. Here's a couple of things I want you to look at in your, I've got this in your notes. There's a theoretical application, and then there's a tangible actual application. You've seen this. What I want you to think about today and next week, and as we're going through this passage, these sections of Peter, is why are you not motivated by your eternal reward? What gets in the way of you seeing the big picture? Spend some time thinking about the reality beyond this realm. There's more to life than this. You were designed for more. Recognize that your faithfulness now impacts eternity. So I want you to, that's theoretical. That's something you can do anytime, all the time. Tangible. What habits or appetites do you regularly feed your sin nature? I can't answer this question. But I can tell you, this thing enables it. I'm not hating on technology. Don't come back and tell me, oh, you know, benefits of technology. I get it. But if this is the first thing that you go for in the morning to find out what's going on, you do know that everything that you look at on here is designed to make you insecure, right? I have the information that backs it up, the algorithms that back up every search, every YouTube video, everything you look on Instagram, everything you do is designed to create discontent in your life. So what are you feeding? Is this what you're feeding? Or do you turn to the Lord first and say, morning, Lord, don't know what's going to be ahead of me today. Boy, I really need you. This is a great tool, but so many of you cannot live without this. So my challenge for you is to put this away at least an hour to 3 hours a day. If you can't go for a couple of hours without this, do I really need to ask the question, do you have a problem? I'm serious. When my wife and I were teaching on money and finances, some people, they have a hard time with their credit cards. So we would say, pull that bad boy out, stick it in a glass of water and freeze the dang thing. Now you link it to your phone, it doesn't matter, right? But I'm just saying, you have to, if you want to become who Christ wants you to be, the question is, what are you feeding and how are you feeding it? Another quick, real practical question is, one of the things I used to do in my class on faith and money is I had my students track their time down to the 15-minute increment. So I challenge you, do you know what you do every day? I keep a sheet. I've created this. I'll give you one if you want. I've got about 10 copies. I'll send you it digitally if you ask me. This is what I do. Tom will see this on my desk every day. I write this. This is what tells me what Chad has done during the day. Because I'm doing so many things I can't remember. But in this particular time, we have so much discretionary time that we just wasted away. I'm not hating on you. I'm just telling you the habits that you form are either going to produce the sin nature more, carnality, or they're going to help you grow in Christ. So track your time. I wouldn't challenge you to do that. The assignment that I gave my students was track it for 30 days. And then look back at it and objectively say, oh, not just thing on your phone, but in paper, and say, wow, I didn't realize how much time I spent here or there. Finally, and I'll be done, I'm changing. This is something new. I haven't been able to cover everything in this text. So if you would like, go grab your favorite beverage that's back there. Grab a snack. Meet me downstairs in the prayer room. And if you want to talk and discuss this message more, point or two, or you want to ask questions about it, come downstairs over the fellowship time and let's just talk. Let's have a discussion about it. because I can't possibly get through everything. The opportunity before you is what? To grow. And the extent to which you cultivate the new nature in your life is the extent to which you will experience the blessing of the Lord and fruitfulness in your life. Let's pray. Father, you are so good to us. And we're so grateful that you do work with us. We have that opportunity. And would you just encourage us with that reality? Would you help us to see the long-term goal? Help us to get outside of our own self and our own stuff to see that there's something bigger that we're put on earth to live for, that there's the ultimate reality waiting for us, and that we can either enhance that or take it away and give us the right attitude in order to respond. Thank you for this amazing text of Scripture. Help us to be mindful the rest of the day of what you've spoken to us about and what we should do. In Jesus' name, amen.